Chuck Barris is best known for his television creations, The Gong Show and The Newlywed Game. Several years ago, we spoke with him about his career in comedy and his career in television.
We're pleased to have Chuck Barris join us from his hotel in Washington, D.C. Chuck Barris, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
It's good to be on Motley Fool.
Chuck, let's start by taking a look back. Well, what was your childhood like? When did you realize that you could make a living in television?
Well, when I graduated college, I didn't have any idea what I wanted to do. And I just kind of looked around, and I thought that plastics of television, I narrowed it down to that. and then I just took television, and I went to New York. And I think it was a wise move. It was wonderful being there at that time. Mm-hmm. There were lots of opportunities that, you know, were wide open to you. So it was a great place to be.
Now, we read where you faked your resume to land a job at NBC. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, that's very true. It's amazing that nobody ever checked. I knew about this management training program. I knew they took five people or six people, I think it was, out of 2,000 or more applications. So I remember I went to the library at 42nd Street and 42nd and 5th, and I just checked out who is the board of directors of the parent company, RCA, Radio Corporation of America, and I found out the board of directors, and I wrote them down as my recommendations, and I got right in. I mean, I know that I got in that way because at a personnel party at Christmas, the first, you know, Christmas I was there, some inebriated personnel guy said to me, I thought you were going to be a real pain in the neck when you had all those fancy recommendations, but you're a nice guy, you know. So I knew that those people, it's amazing, isn't it?
What a story. Chuck, let's talk about your best-known creation, The Gong Show. First of all, do you like to talk about The Gong Show?
Sure.
Okay. Well, what was the original idea behind it?
It was simple. We went out to do a talent show because there weren't any venues for talent at that time. No, there weren't any variety shows on television. There weren't any nightclubs. But what I turned it around, I just found bad acts. So I decided not to waste the idea and just do a variety show made up of bad acts. Now, you must understand that if I were a brand new television producer coming into television, I would have never sold that show in a million years to anybody. But because I had a string of hits behind me, the powers that be at NBC, CBS, ABC, they were afraid to turn it down. So I got The Gong Show on.
And Chuck, Tom and I were just recollecting, having seen so many gong shows ourselves in our youths, earlier today, one of our favorite shows, I don't know if you remember this one because you did so many of them, but do you remember the one where every single act that came out sang the song Feelings?
Oh, you know something? Marvin Hamlisch stopped me on the street one day, and he said that was his favorite show of all time.
That was our favorite,
and
too.
Anything he ever saw on television. You know, everybody would come up. I never saw so many people doing Feelings, and I got so sick of it. So one day I turned around and I said, hey, let's do a show with everybody doing Feelings. And we had a guitar player do it, a trio sing it, you know, a five-band play it. And the great part about that whole thing was that the acts on the show did not realize they were all doing Feelings until about the fourth act. And he turned around to me waiting to go on. He said, we're all doing Feelings.
You had like, by the end, you had like a juggler coming out. And like the juggler was
right. So you got it.
Chuck, let's talk about a few of your other game shows and have you briefly elaborate on the idea and the inspiration behind them. We'll start with The Newlywed Game. What was it for those who never saw it, and why was it successful?
Because I always looked at my ideas for identification. I just wanted to make sure that audiences could identify with what we were doing. Everybody knew how to date. If they didn't, they soon would, and whatever. And everybody knew about newlyweds. They could identify with it. If they weren't going, you know, they had once mm-hmm. been newlyweds or they're going to be. And that's why The Newlywed Game and most of my shows, I feel, were so successful. It was also, as I explained earlier, it was very simple.
One of my favorite shows of yours, fairly short-lived, but the $1.98 Beauty Show. I want you to explain what was happening on the show, how somebody won, and whether you consider it to have been a success.
I thought the Don 98 Beauty Show was one of my favorite shows. Would have been one of my more successful shows. It came at the end of my run. I was falling apart at the seams. I was tired of television. I was in a strange place. I think it was time for me to move on, and I was moving myself on, whether I liked it or not. The Don 98 Beauty Show came in and around that time, and shortly thereafter, we were basically off the air all over the place. But the wonderful thing about the Don 98 Beauty Show was a takeoff on beauty shows. I mean, there was an element of that show. I mean, we had the contestants on the show were ladies. Nobody was a beauty. Everybody was just normal people walking around in bathing suits. And at the end of the show, we gave everybody a big bushel of dead weeds, you know, or something.
Carrots.
Like that.
Carrots. Wasn't it a carrot, a bouquet?
But and the one unique thing about that show that I love more than anything else and nobody ever knew, or it didn't seem to know, was that the three judges, who were all celebrities, never did anything. They never did anything. They never kept score. They never voted. They never we never asked them their opinions. The curtain went up and they were sitting there, and the curtain went down and they were sitting there, you know, and nobody, they didn't complain. The judges never said, hey, you know, aren't we supposed to say something? They just placidly sat there. And that's what I loved about that show. I picked the winner, you know, and I only picked the winner by a guess as to who would jump up and down when we said you would be the winner. And that's what I loved about Don 88.
And what did you win?
So much fun.
What did you win?
You won, you won a prize. You got to walk up and down the thing, and you got some small prize, but nothing.
Didn't you get a check for $1.98?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, you know, something in the long lines of what I was doing then.
Chuck, the Motley Fool Radio Show is a money and business show. We're wondering whether you made a lot of money off your game shows at the time, and do you still make money off syndication?
No, well, I was the first television production company, to go public. I went public in 1968. I'm not talking about the big studios, the big motion picture studios, but an independent television production company. I was the first.
Wow.
I was also the first to start syndication as we know it today, a zillion-dollar business in television today. I started that. I had a show called The Parent Game that was not picked up by NBC, and I was furious. I thought for sure it was going to be, and I took it out with a salesman, and we sold station by station by station. And at that time, syndication consisted of reruns of everything that had run its circuit on the networks, Lassie, Lone Ranger, and all those kinds of shows. And mm-hmm. They played in syndication. They were just repeats. And here was the first show that was going to be first run. A station in Tampa, Florida, would see a program for the first time. It had never been shown on television. Mm-hmm. And that started it. We sold 26 weeks of first run and 26 repeats. So I think my contribution to television in that respect is huge. And that's what I feel proud about.
And but there was not a big financial windfall for you in it.
Well, you see, in those days, the prices, I mean, they were windfalls to us, because if you look at it back then, if we were on 13-week contracts and we got $200,000 or $250,000 for 13 weeks, we had to stay on for 13 weeks. If we stayed on for a year, we'd made $1 million, but there was no guarantee we were going to stay on for a year. Mm. Here, when we sold it, our first time we sold The Parent Game, we sold 26 weeks and 26 repeats, and we got $1 million guaranteed for the year. Mm. So whether they played the show or didn't play the show, we got paid.
Wow.
That was huge.
Chuck, do you ever think about coming back and creating something new for television?
No, I really don't. That part of my life is over. That was a wonderful career, and I had a great time by and large, and that was that.
Okay, we want to close with our own game, Buy, Sell, or Hold, where, Chuck, we offer you something going on in society today, and we ask you, if it were a stock, would you be buying, selling, or holding going forward in one sentence as to why? Ready to play?
Sure.
You've had a few of them yourself. Buy, sell, or hold marriage?
Buy.
And
definitely
why?
Buy. It's wonderful. There's nothing like it when it works.
Buy, sell, or hold, just generally the concept of reality television going forward.
Hold, because reality television is a a standard for television. It's a staple. Game shows are a staple. They'll change in form, but they'll never disappear. It's too. It's economically right up the line for television. In other words, television is the biggest audience for the least amount of money, and that's what you'll get from game shows, per se.
Okay, this is for all the Gong Show fans out there. She was a regular on the Gong Show. Buy, sell, or hold. If she were a stock, J.P. Morgan.
Sell, because that she's too mercurial to have any kind of stability.
Who was your favorite Gong Show celebrity?
J.P. Morgan. But she was wonderful for me because every time I saw her sitting out there, I was secure.
Chuck Barris, thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
That was fun. Thank you.